Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you follow the same storytelling advice as everyone else, then you will tell the same kinds of stories as everyone else. Luckily for you, I discuss exactly how you can avoid that trap with today's guest. What's up, storytellers? Welcome back to the Storytelling Lab podcast. This is episode 148. Today, my guest is Park Howell from The Business of Story. Now, I talk about this a little bit on the show, as you will hear, but Park has been in the game for a long time, like 20 years. Now, like some of our previous guests, he has a background in advertising. That's a very logical way to get into the storytelling space, but I will say this space is chock full of storytellers, new storytellers in the past year or two, especially now that AI has come out. And Park is a veteran, we will say. Park has been in the game for a long time and has learned exactly how to stand out continuously over that career in a sea of like-minded storytelling gurus, if you will. And he does that by keeping it simple. Historically, his framework was the story circle, that is a 10-step formula, kind of similar to the hero's journey, which we all know. But now he has reduced it to even simpler of a formula, and that's good because oftentimes, I mean, probably always, when we're talking about our brand stories, something as complex as the 17-step hero's journey or the 12-step abridged version is way too complex. You're not making Dune. You're not making, you know, Gone with the Wind or Lawrence of Arabia. You're just trying to make a TikTok video or a LinkedIn post to connect with your audience, right? And maybe sell some products or services. Keep it simple, stupid. The KISS rule. His is not the KISS rule. His is ABTs, the ABTs of agile communication. And that stands for the storytelling framework of and, but, therefore. Classic as well, as the creators of South Park, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, which weirdly, this is a total tangent, but I had a dream about them. They were at like an event that I was at last night, and I was with my best friend Brantley from childhood, which, you know, we love South Park, and I was like trying to play it cool, and I was like, yo, Matt Stone and Trey Parker over there. Maybe it's because I knew I was going to record this today. I don't know. Anyways, I digress. Keep it simple, stupid. And Park has understood how to do that in a way that still allows him to differentiate himself from the other people, like myself and other storytelling coaches and speakers. He understands how to help you separate yourself by keeping it simple with your storytelling framework as well. And listen, show up for the storytelling advice like you always do here on the show, but stay for the live in-person interactive workshop that he did with me and my brand. He showed me exactly how the ABTs work, and therefore you will see too in an actual workshop that we did live on the show. So that is worth the price of admission, which, by the way, reminder, is free itself. So here is my conversation with Park Howell, and I hope that you love it.
Thank you. Welcome to the Storytelling Lab, where we break down how to get to the heart of your story and the hearts of your audience to leave the greatest impact possible. And now here's your host, award-winning filmmaker and writer, Rain Bennett.
What's up, my beautiful people? Welcome to another episode of the Storytelling Lab, where we help you break down the art and science of storytelling. My name is Rain Bennett. I am your host, and my job is to help you deepen your connections, increase your sales, and serve your audiences better. Every Tuesday morning, I send out a quick storytelling tip to my newsletter subscribers. I show you techniques I've learned along my journey and used in my own stories, as well as those of my clients. But most importantly, I leave you with tangible takeaways that you can apply to your brand storytelling immediately. Oh, well, actually, more importantly than that, it's free. If this would help you, sign up for the newsletter at rainbennett.com/weekly-storytelling-tips. Mark Howell, welcome to the show. Appreciate you being here.
Rain, it's great to be with you, man.
Well, I would be remiss, my friend, if I didn't start off today's show with a story. Let's see, what year is this? 2017 or 18, I just released a film, a feature documentary that took me about 5 years and probably took more years than that off of my life. But it had a happy ending. When I came out of that, I was pretty exhausted, and I was looking at what I could do in terms of new revenue streams that could fill in those gaps between big creative projects. So I started looking at what I had learned and what I could use to help people, what I had up here of value. My philosophy in video storytelling and filmmaking very much anchored on the story, not the production value. So I started understanding, now that we're all content creators, hey, story is a thing, you know, the thing that you have a unique perspective on, you might be able to help people with that, especially beginners. Don't have a lot of resources or tools or money, but they still are tasked with connecting with their audience via story. Okay, so I started doing public-facing work, workshops, public speaking, started posting about that, started this show. And I started researching other people in the business storytelling or storytelling for business space, and some guy came up named Park Howell for the Business of Storytelling podcast. I said, who is this guy who's been doing this for way longer? And so since that moment, which was years ago, you've been on my radar, sounds like it has a negative connotation, but I've been watching you and your work and looking up to you from afar, to be quite honest.
Thanks, man.
And so I say all that to say, I've been excited for this day for a long time. So I genuinely appreciate you being here. I'm so excited to chop it up with you in all things story. And also since that time, we've had a few more additions to the storytelling space, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's become a very, very popular industry, hasn't it? And I guess rightly so, because stories are so essential for business people, you know, my world, to connect. And so much in the B2B world, you know, business to business, I often say it's boring to bored. That the only way that you're going to overcome your logic and your reason and your bullet point list and your features and your functions is with the context of a story. And that's ultimately what that Homo sapien storytelling ape sitting across from you wants to hear.
So for my journey, I mean, I was a storyteller, right? I've been writing since I was a kid, but I've been in the film industry, documentaries primarily, since about 2004. Mm-hmm. So that was my perspective. I'm always very interested into how others landed on this, like the power of story, we can call mm-hmm. it. So let's talk a little bit about your background. I know you came from the ad world. So was it very clear through that experience, or how did you start to understand, like, hey, this is the way that humans really communicate? There is something here.
Yeah. Well, Rain, you know, I've been in the advertising, branding, marketing world for almost 40 years, and I ran my own ad agency for 20 of those years out of Phoenix, Arizona. And we were, I guess you would say, intuitive, natural storytellers. We always leaned into finding fun, interesting, surprising, novel ways to talk about our customers' products and or services. And we did traditional advertising, TV, radio, print, outdoor, direct mail, PR, events, that kind of thing. And sometimes, you know, we would run campaigns. I can think of one in particular for Goodwill of Central Northern Arizona, where we had two 30-second TV commercials. Mm-hmm. One of them polled extraordinarily well. I mean, they saw a 40% bump in same-day sales in their stores throughout metropolitan Phoenix. And then we ran a second spot, as you often did, right, in a campaign, and that one didn't pull at all. And before I studied story and I was being more intuitive about it, I went and looked at it, and I couldn't answer my client's question. Why did this one work and this one did not work at all? So I went kind of in search for an answer. And they're also looking for an answer to this idea of e-commerce back in the early 2000s. Yeah. And then social media took over. And where I used to tell our clients that they own the influence of mass media through their media buys, well, that had changed, of course. The masses had become the media. And it got noisier out there than ever, which means our campaigns had a harder time surviving. So I needed to understand what was the difference in those two spots. And what it came down to, Rain, is after I really started studying it, spot number one had a definitive story structure to it. I was not intentional in doing it. I didn't think I'm going to write a story and use the hero's journey to do it. It was just a natural story, and it pulled unbelievably well. The second one was just a creative burp. You know, we're so clever. Look at how clever this and interesting this is. We put it out there, and people may have liked it for its creativity, but it certainly didn't move the needle. And it was not based on story structure in any way, shape, or form. So like you, I went to Hollywood to figure out what did Hollywood know about storytelling that we marketers, advertisers, branders needed to know. And we were lucky because our middle child, our son Parker, was going to Chapman University, a really famous film school over there in Orange, California. Yep. And I said, Parker, send me your books and your recorded lectures when you're done with them, since I'm paying for them, because I need to understand what Hollywood knows about this. And that's, of course, when I found The Hero's Journey and Blake Snyder's 15 Beats to Story and The Pixar Way and all of these fabulous, large story models, and immediately embraced them because I could see the power of them in brand strategy and brand story strategy and whatever. And actually wrote my first book, Brand Bewitchery, which is all about my 10-step story cycle system, based off of, inspired by, Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey. And so that was my entree into the storytelling world and how I was translating what Hollywood knew into the business world to help move the needle in a major way for brand story strategy development.
What do you think led you to the world of advertising in terms of how you grew up, where you grew up?
I can tell you, I grew up in Seattle. Okay. Rainier Beer, a local beer maker there, had the most marvelous, funny, quirky ads. And I think as a kid growing up, I always just loved those. Rain, I also was a musician. I played the piano starting in about the third grade, and I was always writing songs. And they were goofy little songs, fun songs. I even wrote a big song for our graduation at high school. So I thought, you know what? Maybe I really want to go in, study music composition and theory, which I did. And I got a degree in it, but I was also surrounded by brilliant, very talented musicians. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I've got the talent, the chops, or the persistence to be able to compete in the music world. So I did that as a love for music. And I also got a second degree at the same time in advertising communications, figuring I could make a living in the advertising world, which I certainly have ever since then. And that music degree has paid off, you know, instrumentally, to borrow a pun, because of flow and rhythm and how music is composed is very much how we compose our own communications, and by the way, how we compose stories. So it's no coincidence that now I'm at that intersection of advertising marketing and music composition and theory, and I teach story composition and theory to help leaders excel through the stories they tell.
I tell you, pal, one of the things that excites me most about the work that we do is exactly what you just demonstrated. connecting these dots like that, right? And it makes me think of two things. One, I had Stephen Pressfield on the show a while back, and he talks about this concept of your goal not being a singular point, but rather a horizon, because you never know what other opportunities will manifest from the study of whatever you're seeking, or just your experiences in general, or pivots or other paths that spawn off that you could take, like your music career in this example. And it also illuminates an idea that I always marinate on, which is just the intersection of all our unique experiences and perspectives. And I love that you're so tapped into that. And I think those that are really good at what they do, especially in this communication space, understand that. And you're pulling from all of these different backgrounds. And like, I mean, you just described it perfectly and visually of how they all kind of mold together into this world you exist in now, which is the world of story. It's just so beautiful.
Well, thank you. And you know, because you know, a filmmaker, documentary maker, that we haven't invented anything new here. These structures have literally been around since the beginning of time. I mean, yeah. Gilgamesh, the very first recorded story ever on cuneiform tablets, follows the hero's journey. You know, it's this natural take on how we all go through life and hero's journeys, larger and small, all day long. And so when we see them repeated to us, that same architecture of story in a movie, in a song, in a book, it just seems like as Carl Jung would say, you know, it's an archetype that we can completely appreciate. But what I found is it's difficult. And you had started, Rain, early in this conversation about, you know, how do you share storytelling with people that are new to it? Mm-hmm. And I made the mistake early on in my career of storytelling and sharing it that I was so geeked out on the big story forms, hero's journey, Blake Snyder and that I was losing my audience. They would look at me and I realized essentially what they're saying is, Park, I don't want to be a story theorist. I just want to know how to use these structures so that I can be way more effective in hacking through the noise out there and hooking into the hearts of our audiences. And that's where my studies brought me down to just over a decade ago of finding the most powerful framework I believe there is, and that is the three-word and, but, therefore, or the ABT Agile Narrative Framework. And now all of my training begins with those three words. I teach people the ABT. Once they get that down and build their narrative intuition, then the rest of the storytelling becomes much easier, and they don't have to be story theorists to use it.
I am so, so glad that you organically landed on that point, because it's one that I kind of bang on quite a bit too. And it's no shade to anybody that's new to the space, but it's pretty pervasive. You see that a lot of people just touting the same old, you know, big picture, you know, top level structures and theories that we're talking about. And it's not always, if ever, applicable to the simple daily stories that people are trying to tell in their business communication. And it's a trap you can fall into. But again, we're all at different places in our journey. So I try not to, you know, have a negative viewpoint of that, because some people are new, just like you were once and just like I was once. Because I did the same thing in 2017 and 18 when I immersed myself into this world and started learning all of these arcs and shapes and formulas and such. But I think it's really important to land where you did, which is, yeah, what's the simplest version of this that's effective, that's realistically effective for folks?
Yeah. You know, Kurt Vonnegut, famous American author, I thought had the best description of story. And you can see it on his YouTube clip called Shapes of Stories. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, a story is nothing more than a man falls in a hole, a man gets out of a hole. It doesn't have to be about a man, and it doesn't have to be about a hole. Yes. But essentially, that's it.
Absolutely. I know exactly the clip. I love that clip. So what are some of the other things that people get wrong in terms of how they're going to utilize a storytelling framework to communicate their ideas and their thoughts and even sell their products and services?
Yeah. Get it wrong or just don't quite know how to do it. I think one of the biggest traps that I see, number one, is people think they're telling a story when they're not telling a story because they never get out of exposition. Mm. What I mean by that, they never get out of act one. They and their audiences to death. And then they start looking around going, what's the point here? What's going on? They haven't inserted a complication or a problem that really connects with the limbic brain and gets it to sit up and go, oh, okay, well, then what happened? Or a plot twist.
Yes.
That leads to then that natural call to action. So I think the first challenge people have is they're not actually telling a story. Problem number two is they often place themselves at the center of the story. And that's okay when you're telling stories about yourself, but they have to be told from the point of view of your audience. So your audience can appreciate what you went through in the hopes that then they'll say, hey, you're like me. I've been through something very similar to that. So it's not an ego-driven story, but it's a story told from your audience's perspective, even if it is about you. And then I think the third thing, Rain, that most businesses make, the mistake they make, and especially in the B2B world, is your story is not about what you make, but what you make happen Ooh. In people's lives. Outcomes always trump offerings in a story. So tell a story from your audience point of view, make it about them, even if you're the central character in this story, and then talk about the outcome that you make happen in their life, not about your product or service.
That was so, so good. Your stories are not about what you make. They're about what you make happen.
Yeah. Oh,
that we could end right there, buddy. That's that's
underscore
so good.
Happen, italicize happen, bold
yes.
it, put it in
I
red.
See it. I see the landing page and everything, buddy. It's so good. Oh man, I love it when you can just hit one line like that, that resonates so strongly. You know, you mentioned something a second ago about, you know, the stories really being driven from your audience's minds, not yours. Man, I got to be honest. Like, I still fall into that trap of letting the ego kind of take over a little bit. And I tell a great story, but it's really just about me for me. Right.
Yeah.
And I had to be very objective and conscious of that, because even with, you know, years in the game, I still step into that little sticky mud puddle sometimes. And there was a post I saw, from someone, it was about something not super similar but related, and it was just basically prompting people to ask, is this aligned with your ego or is this aligned with your purpose? And that's something I've done ever since then, of like, any thought that I have, a post that I'm putting out, a feeling that I have about something else that happened outside of me, like, is this my ego responding or telling this story, or am I really telling this to align with my purpose and what I'm trying to make happen, as you say? So I think I just wanted to call back attention to that, because it's okay. It's natural to fall into that mm-hmm. trap, but being aware of it is the first step to changing it and then making the impact that you want to on your audience.
You know, one of the great proving grounds or exercises that anybody can do to overcome that thing is this: am I telling a story just about my ego to prop me up, or am I telling a story that's actually going to benefit my audience? The next time you go to a party or a large gathering, or, you know, maybe a dinner gathering or something like that, and everybody is sharing and they're telling their stories and so forth, try this. Share no stories. Just sit and listen. And listen to how different stories come across, which ones are powerful, which ones are completely self-serving. Most of them typically become self-serving because everyone's trying to one-up each other at the table. But it is a remarkable exercise of listening and going, oh, okay, I don't want to make that mistake that person's making right now. Or, wow, that was a really powerful story. Why was that so compelling and had the room really leaning in and listening? And I find the more I do that, the better I am then of really using my listening skills and, again, making my stories about my audience, not just about me.
Excellent exercise. Excellent exercise. We can learn so much from listening.
Yeah.
What a shock.
Oh, seriously.
Man, it's so hard sometimes, though, Park. Okay, so a lot of my audience, I've kind of mentioned this already, and when I gave you the little backstory of how I first found out about you, but I would say most of my audience are beginners, for lack of a better term. Sometimes that's exactly what they are. But I always kind of root for and fight for the underdog. So I've always worked with a lot of nonprofits and solopreneurs and anybody that's overwhelmed and under-resourced. That's kind of how I say it. So I always like to make sure that we're catering to them. I want to shift gears and talk a little bit about the ABTs and go deeper into that. I know that's what you've been working on a lot lately, and I love the simplicity of it. But let's, before we get into that, you had mentioned that it's, and I believe the full name is the ABTs of Agile Communication. Is that correct? Okay. So let's establish what you mean by that. What is Agile Communication for those that may not be familiar with that term?
Yeah, you know, and it's maybe... maybe I need to find a better term for that, but essentially what it comes down to, Rain, is making sure that your messages land right the first time, every time, using the three forces of story. And that's what the and, but, therefore does. So again, I learned it exactly backwards in how I teach it. I learned the very complex structures. I unwrap them, unpack them, you know, transition them into business, and they've been very, very successful. But in that process, and I think it's pretty much like any discovery process, you start with the complex, and it's your job to make it simple. I learned about the and, but, therefore from my friend Dr. Randy Olson, Harvard PhD evolutionary biologist, gives up tenure when in his mid-30s. He goes to USC Film School, graduates, and he's made a career of teaching scientists and academics how to take the complex thinking and make it simple using the and, but, therefore. The ABT works, and I saw this from a branding standpoint, because whenever you're doing brand work for a company, you are typically trying to make their complex message as simple and digestible and interesting as possible. And that's when I saw the ABT in 2013. I'm like, oh my goodness, is this like the holy grail of communication? So reached out to Randy. He and I have become fast friends, and we built the ABT together. He in the scientific academic world, me in the business branding world.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It works because it is the foundation for story. It uses the three forces of story. And what I mean by that is agreement, contradiction, and consequence. Agreement is like Act One. Here's where our setting is. Here, let me introduce you to the character, what they want out of life, what's at stake if they get it, and what's at stake if they don't get it. That's just Act One. That's exposition. You want to get through that, be as quickly as possible, but being crystal clear as to what that is. Then you introduce Act Two, or the problem, the journey, right? But they don't have it because of this major problem that they are going to now spend the majority of the movie, in this case, or book or whatever, fighting and overcoming all the challenges so that they can get to Act Three, or the consequence of their actions, which is the final play out. How does this all resolve? So think about it in sales. In Act One, or that and statement of agreement, you want to identify your audience, who's the protagonist in this story. Again, you're telling a story from their perspective. What do they want relative to your offering, and why is that important to them? That's your statement of agreement. You get one and. You don't get two, three, five, 10. Otherwise, you're going to go and your audience to death. Who's your audience? What do they want? And why is that important to them? But why are they so frustrated? Because of what problem? What is it that's holding them back that you become the answer to? Therefore, it leads to that statement of consequence. Therefore, imagine how much better life is going to be when you do this with me. Set up problem resolution. You invite your audience into a story loop. You get them nodding in agreement. Yeah, you understand me. You appreciate what you want, what I want. Then you introduce the problem. Oh, you're empathizing now, demonstrating your empathy for the frustration that they have because of this major problem. The therefore, the consequence moving forward, here's your natural next step. So you use the ABT in all of your communications, not just branding, not just sales and marketing, in your emails, in your setting up a show, finding the through line theme for a podcast. I mean, you use it everywhere because you're thinking in this agreement, contradiction, consequence, force, the three forces of story.
Oh, I love that. You had mentioned Randy Olson to me before, and I love that. Talk about unique intersections, his background in evolutionary psychology, you know, and then going to film school. Like that's yeah. Exciting. It reminds me of, are you familiar with Alan Alda's work in this space?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. He wrote this book. If I understood you, would I have this look on my face? And I've given that out a lot, but he's got a school actually at Stony Brook University, mm-hmm. I think, but he helped scientists convey their research findings, you know, making complex things simple. So I saw a lot of parallels there, but that, yeah, I think when we first connected, you had mentioned Randy to me and even suggested him as a guest. So I might absolutely take you up on that or take him up on that. Yeah. When we all have access now, you know, we've mentioned storytelling is becoming very, very popular, and there's a lot of people in this space now, which, you know what, I think is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Some people think it becoming a marketing buzzword is a negative thing. I disagree. Because I genuinely think that they, you know, think that the power that they hold is profound, and it can really impact the world. Even though that may sound cheesy, I fully believe that.
Yeah.
But we all have access to the same tools now, most of the same knowledge and structures. We've kind of alluded to these themes throughout the conversation already. How do you rise above the noise when everybody is using the hero's journey or whatever structure, even the ABTs? How do you make your story stand out?
Yeah, you've got to stand for something. You know, what do you stand for that makes you stand out? That's true with any brand in any industry, especially in this storytelling industry that has been overwhelmed with people. Some, like any industry, really know what they're talking about, and some, you know, lead people down rabbit holes that don't really work. So for me, you know, of course, I've been doing it an awfully long time, over 20 years. And I have focused everything beginning with that and, but therefore, and building off of it. The thing about the ABT, it's tricky. It's short and sweet, but tricky. Therefore, you've got to practice it. So when I'm brought in to work with people, I first show them how they can use it in all their messaging. And then I put them through a deliberate practice program, a 7-week deliberate practice program where they're spotting and crafting ABTs in the wild. I realized that I couldn't just be another storytelling dude out there, or dudette for that matter, that I decided I was going to pin all of my work starting with the ABT and growing it from there. I used to do it the other way around. I used to pin it on my 10-step story cycle system, which is very effective. It's based off of A Course in Hero's Journey, but it's complicated. And I just found that in service to my clients and my customers, the people in my keynotes and mastery courses, it all begins with them first understanding that ABT. So of all the storytelling gurus out there in the business world, I believe I am the only one teaching the and but therefore. Randy certainly does it in the science academic world. Excuse me. That's his swim lane, not mine. I do go in and do some of his workshops with him, bringing the business perspective into the science world. But for the most part, I am the only person that is really teaching the ABT in the business world. So that's how I stand out. I have a singular narrative. How can I help you excel through the stories you tell? It all begins with the ABT, which we call the DNA of storytelling.
How important is it as a thought leader or anybody, you know, making a living off of their perspective on something? Obviously, you have your agency as well. But how important is it to evolve? You've been in the game a long time. And I think this, you've mentioned your music background. You can see this very evidently in musical artists who are able to keep their careers, you know, sustain their careers for a long time. You can't stay writing the same songs, right?
Right.
So you just gave us a clear example of you doing that. And it's a trap that I find myself now at a crossroads where I've been talking about storytelling for years at this point. And now that there's a lot of other people in the space, like, that's not enough to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, hey, tell stories. Your brain's wired for stories, you know, the same old, same old. And I have a unique perspective. And so now I'm working to double down on that. But just as someone who is making a career off of their words and their ideas and their thoughts, that's got to be imperative, right? To be able to be malleable over the years and over time.
Well, and it's a great question because it's interesting. These story frameworks have been around since the beginning of time.
Right.
And we know they work. So we're going to teach them. And we're not going to evolve them into some brand new story framework that no one's ever thought about because it's probably not going to work. Now, the three forces of story of agreement, contradiction, consequence, I believe, play to our primal, pattern-seeking, problem-solving, decision-making, buying limbic brain. Setup, problem, resolution. You're not going to change that. But you will change how you use it and how you apply it. And that's where my evolution has come, because you're exactly right. How do you grow on it and make it even more impactful? Something I've really been focused on in 2024 is what I call the know, like, and trust storytelling flywheel. Mm-hmm. You know the flywheel effect from Jim Collins. He perfected in his 2001, or introduced it to the world in 2001 in his book, Good to Great. Flywheel is hard to get in motion, but once you get it in motion, if you do it right and take care of it, it builds momentum. And this is, you know, out around operations and sales and marketing and so forth. Jeff Bezos used it famously with Amazon early on when Collins went in and taught his team how to build one and run it. He's running the exact same flywheel today. And I thought to myself, Rain, why don't we have one in storytelling? Because what I have found with people is, great, Park, you've shared with me these structures. I now need a definitive strategy that most ad agencies don't know how to activate to be able to make this work. So my evolution is this storytelling, know, like, and trust storytelling flywheel. Again, you had said earlier where we connect the dots. We're not inventing anything new. We're bringing two worlds together to make something more powerful. Mm-hmm. So I took Jim Collins' approach of the flywheel, said, now, if it was a storytelling flywheel, what would that be? I took Bob Berg, who is a legendary sales coach and teacher, who came up with the phrase many years ago, said, people will buy from and refer business to people they know, like, and trust, mm-hmm. right? So how does that play into a big storytelling strategy? Number one, you have got to be known for something. That's where the and but therefore comes in. And then I want to do a quick little exercise with you if I can. I'm going to put you on the hot seat.
Yeah,
show you the ABT in action.
Let's do it.
What are you known for as a brand? Then how do you become more likable? You don't become likable through bullet points, features and functions, communicating to your audiences with logic and reason. You become likable by demonstrating the authenticity of the brand and your emotional outreach through the stories you tell. That's where our five primal elements of a short story for big impact come in, which is essentially an expanded ABT, but now you use this story structure to tell the stories of your customers, of the impact that you are making in their world. Remember, your story's about what you make happen. They're not about what you make. You build on that. You attract in. You build trust in doing that. You attract customers in. You deliver on the promises that you make in your stories. They love you. They then start telling their story with their world, which does what? Makes you more known.
Mm-hmm.
that leads to being more likable, meaning you become the trusted provider in your industry, which makes you better known. And so you've got this storytelling flywheel going on. So I'm using the structures that we know that work, from the three-word ABT to the five primal elements of a short story for big impact, right down to my 10-step story cycle system in your long-form communications, all in the strategy development found in your know, like, and trust storytelling flywheel. Hmm. That make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that.
And then I was going to say, do you want to try this on you?
I'd love to.
We won't do the whole flywheel.
No, let's go for it. Yeah, let's go.
I want to show you, and therefore your audience, how to use the ABT immediately to become known for something specific. What's the one problem you solve for? So you were saying earlier that you are, been in the storytelling world a long time, mm-hmm. and evolution is important, so you stand out. But where do you evolve? So tell me what you are doing right now. What is that one really interesting problem that you are solving like no one else can for your customers, your clients, your audiences?
So it's not far from what we've talked about. What I have found emerge in my storytelling work is that I have a unique ability to, and it's because I went through this process myself. I have a lot of different interests, and I never understood. I kept parts of my identity compartmentalized because I had never mm-hmm. seen someone, mesh them together well. And once I had a business coach kind of help me understand, hey, that's a really unique intersection where you could live in, I help people find those unique intersections when they get caught in that trap of competing. And this person is doing it this way, so I'm going to do it this way. And they get their three letters at the end of their title credentials, so I'm going to get that, and mm-hmm. they're in this rat race. And so I work with people through their individual story to understand their unique perspectives on the world and the work that they do in the world. And I can do that with companies, so organizations as their brand narrative, or I can do that with personal brands. Just in terms of like, hey, Rain, how should you be helping someone in storytelling? So that's where I've been spending a lot of my time, where I see real, tangible, transformative results with people versus here's how you tell a story, apply this to your social media content.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like the main problem you solve for your audiences is differentiation. You help them. Authentic differentiation. Yeah. That differentiation comes from who they are and what they stand for. Is that fair enough?
Absolutely.
Okay. So now let's backtrack. Now when we build an ABT, we quite often start with a B. Just we want to know what that plot twist is. What is that one problem that you solve for? So let me ask you this. We're going to now start with the AND statement of agreement. Who is your number one audience, your number one customer? And you think about the Pareto principle, where 80% of your income comes from 20% of your customers. And chances are that 20% is one singular persona. So how would you define your ideal customer?
Small businesses or small business owners.
Owner of a small business. Yeah. Okay. And what do they want out of their business relative to your offering? What is it that they want?
Well, I think it would be, I'm just going to do stream of consciousness here.
Yeah, sure.
I think it would be maybe perhaps too shallow to just say, well, they want success. They want to be successful at what they do, i.e. serve their people better. But I think in terms of the work that we do together, they want to be able to connect with their audiences deeper.
More
engage with their audience. Yeah. In a more connected way.
And if they did do that, mm-hmm. what would be the desired outcome?
The desired outcome would be building a community of supporters, customers, or clients.
Okay. So you are a small business owner running a robust business, and if you could connect more deeply with your customers, then you would build this amazing community of evangelists for your business to help you grow.
That feels right.
Okay, so I got you nodding. Statement of agreement. Right?
Yeah.
But what is an emotion that they're dealing with because they are not growing like that? They are not differentiated. Are they frustrated? Are they fearful? Are they angry? What is it?
They are absolutely frustrated. Most of the time I find these people to be these people. That sounds terrible. I am these people, to be clear, to be frustrated with, you know, juggling way too many things. And so they spin in circles. They bounce from this to this to this, because in my opinion, they don't have clarity about what they are doing, who they are serving, and why. And could they get that clarity? Hopefully through my help, then it would inform all of the decisions from the macro to the micro that they make for their business.
Ah, okay. So now we're boiling down to something even more interesting. And as you know, as a filmmaker, the power of story rests in the specifics.
Yeah.
So now you've just brought up this term, not so much about differentiation, but about clarity of who they are.
Hmm.
Right? So yeah, that's okay. This is the way the ABT works. It's a beautiful tool to be able for you to sort through all this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And in my opinion, clarity is the route, the path to that differentiation.
Yeah.
So I think it's fair to say that it does start with clarity first. And once you are clear about that, that will separate you from the pack. That's kind of the thesis.
Beautiful. Okay. So now let's rewrite that and statement of agreement. You are the owner of a robust small business. And if you had clarity of purpose, then you would exponentially grow your community of evangelists that would 10x your revenue.
Yeah.
But you're mired in the confusion of day-to-day operations because you have not identified your core differentiator in the market that will provide the clarity you're looking for. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
So then we go to therefore, statement of consequence. You want this, but you don't have it because of this problem. The consequence of that, here's the way forward. So that therefore statement of agreement, you don't even have to use the word therefore. You might then say, imagine if you had a crystal clear path forward that always attracted your ideal customers. And if you do this with me, then I will help you get that. The brand and your offering come at the very end of every ABT. It comes at the second part of the therefore statement of consequence, because remember what we said at the top of your show here, your story is not about you, it's about them. That's why you're identifying them in your statement of agreement, what they want, and demonstrating that you appreciate why that's important to them. But still about them, they're incredibly frustrated because they're mired in this day-to-day confusing operation because, extremely important word, because they do not have a defined point of authentic differentiation in the marketplace. Therefore, we remain focused on your audience. Imagine, picture, you know, what it's going to feel like, what it will be when you have that crystal clear path forward by doing this program with us. Now, there's your and but therefore, this is where you become known for something. It's the beginning of the revolution of putting that storytelling, know, like, and trust flywheel into motion, your ABT.
I love that. Imagine that forecasting into the future, because you're painting the picture of the potential future for them. You're telling them, you know, that potential story.
Yeah.
And I love that as a way to end it. Listen, I don't have to pay you for that, do I?
Yeah, that I'll send you my.
No, that was excellent. To be honest, I have a few more questions, but I think that's such a great exercise because it just demonstrated everything we've been talking about. So I think let's end it there. I don't know that we'll beat that as a stopping point, but I will ask you this. I'm always interested before we go, I'm always interested in folks and where they are in their personal journeys as well as how they help. And I found through doing this show long enough and asking people what they're up to in the coming months or year, that there's generally two answers. Either people are in a transitional stage, which I feel like I am in their career, or they found something that they are focused on just grounding and doubling down on that one thing. Where would you say that you are going into, you know, quarter two of 2024?
Yeah, well, with my work, as far as my career goes, I did my big transition when I was 55 years old and people thought I was crazy walking away from my ad agency and doing this. It was more of an off-ramp than anything. I didn't sell it because I didn't want to have to be beholden to someone to go out and build five more years worth of business in order to get my, I needed to run. So I bolted. So I've done my big transition. Now that I'm just solely focused and have been for the past 10 years on this, I am finding new and interesting ways to teach our three frameworks and the storytelling flywheel to really help people overcome that frustration of not being heard, of being ignored out there. My one nemesis that I help people overcome is boredom. Mm. You know, there's with every great story, story is only as good as your villain is evil. In my world, boredom is evil and it's everywhere. So why my whole double down thing is to help people overcome being boring, overcome boring audiences and excite people, move them to action very, very quickly. And it all starts with the ABT. So that's my thing, is overcoming that villain of boredom.
That's so good. Furiously writing notes over here. and so you gave me a link to your, to the course that you have for the ABTs. If people wanted to go through this exercise with you, where can they go and find more information on the ABTs of Agile Communications?
Yeah, that's the best place is just go businessofstory.com. You guessed it, /ABT. businessofstory.com/ABT. And when they get there, the landing page walks them through quite a bit about the ABT. The course itself is a micro training. You can do it in under 1 hour. There's three modules. And I even invite people to go ahead and when they do the course, write an ABT, email it to me. I include it in the course and I will give you free added value coaching on your ABT via email back to you. And I'll get back to them within 24 hours, if not sooner. As you know, I'm a very urgent guy.
I was going to say, folks, I can attest to that. He is fast with responding. So that's also something that is inspiring to me. Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely vouch for you there. Park, thank you so much. This has been really, really good. I knew it would be. As I said, I've been looking forward to chatting with you for a long time, but this sort of thing that we did here at the end with the live workshop is so, so valuable for me selfishly, but also for the people listening to understand. It's real easy for us to get up here and talk high level. I call it the Storytelling Lab because I try to break down the art and science of what goes on behind the scenes. You did an amazing job of doing that with me here today. I appreciate you very much, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Rain. And I enjoy being on your show. This has been great.
Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you real soon.
Sounds good.
Bye. My name is Rain Bennett. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed that episode, do us a favor and subscribe to the podcast. If you're already a subscriber and you're enjoying the show, give us a review and let us know the value that you've gotten from it. We love to hear from our listeners and learn about the benefits that they're getting from the show. That's what fuels us and that's what fuels the show. And if you've already subscribed and you've already reviewed it and you think there's someone else that would benefit from listening to this show, please, please share it with them. The more we grow, the more we can help you grow, and that's what we're here to do. Join us next time on the Storytelling Lab. This podcast is a 6 Second Stories production. 6 Second Stories is a story coaching and consulting company that builds online education, in-person and virtual training, and digital products that help businesses master storytelling to find their ideal customers and market to them effectively. You can learn more at 6secondstories.com and purchase the book 6 Second Stories at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, or RainBennett.com/6secondstories.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.